Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 88.
Jesus.
In return for your help, I offer something priceless.
My freedom.
Freedom can be taken away. As you well know, I offer knowledge. Everything I have learned. I will teach you economics, mathematics, philosophy, science.
To read and write?
Of course.
So, why now? Wade Cleland gets released?
Well, I thought there'd be something on the news, but there's nothing.
Catch up on yours? I don't. Sorry. Thanks.
Cleveland still live up on East 100. The older one, he owns limousines.
Yeah.
How great is that? Operates out of Charlottesville. Every time I see one pass through town, or on the way to the airport, fucking June, fucking prom. If you don't own the
Where are your children?
Home. The sitter.
Let's get back in your car. What? They never called the police.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Mrs. Rachel Zelag.
Hello.
In this episode, we are continuing on with our look at revenge movies with The Count of Monte Cristo and Blue Ruin. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. So, Mrs. Zelag.
Yes?
What are you drinking on this birthday eve as of recording?
Birthday. I am having my very first summer shandy of the season.
Whoa. It's a big day.
Yeah. It's a big day.
First shandy.
Yeah. It's like, it ain't official, you know, till you drink the first.
Yeah, the 98 degrees doesn't mean shit. Once Rachel cracks that first one open, then it's summer.
It's very true.
There you go. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I'm anticipating a martini that maybe we'll get here.
God, get that.
Yeah, she's got to, hold up her end of the bargain, right?
Anytime, bartender.
Yeah, really. And so
there goes your tip.
That's on the way. I will probably be hearing it being made in the background. But I'm having, we're having a little vodka and spicy hot V8.
Ooh.
Which is kind of tried and true. I don't know why you don't like it. You don't like tomato juice?
I do, though.
You don't like having minerals and vegetables and vitamins and all of the good things.
When I drink a Bloody Mary, normally if I have Zing Zang, I will ask for it. Like, that's just the thing. But I like eat the celery if there's celery, and if for the love of God some blessed soul had put bacon in it, I would eat that. But like, I leave all the other stuff because it like gives flavor, but I never like eat the pickle or the olives. I, like, let other people pick that out.
Oh, really? The olives are the best part.
Okay, that's what literally everyone says to me, and I'm like, I get you.
I understand
me,
the words.
They kind of taste like boogers, and so I just let other people eat them. But I like them in there.
Well, yeah.
While I'm drinking it.
Well, you're definitely doing it the right way, as if you would do it the wrong way, but...
Right.
Yeah, like you eat all the food at the end.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. I'll have to maybe try the spicy jibber jab, whatever you said.
I'll just bring it over and be like, here, drink this. All right. Drink for vodka, not bad.
Have I ever steered you wrong with alcohol?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so these are a pair of newer films. there are a ton of different Count of Monte Cristo versions
right.
that are out there. But our first movie is from 2002, and it is Rachel's pick, and it is The Count of Monte Cristo.
Thanks to you, Mondego. Being your friend is always an adventure.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Make love to me.
Will you ever give up?
Hey!
I missed you so.
The missing is over now.
May this happy moment have a long and wonderful life for you both.
Edmond Dantès, you're under arrest by order of the Magistrate of Marseille.
I demand an explanation!
Why are you doing this?
It's complicated.
Where are you taking me?
From now on, your home is a prison, Chateau d'If.
No!
I have been a prisoner in Chateau d'If for 11 years.
You spoke of escape.
What do you want to buy?
Revenge.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a great honor that I present the Count of Monte Cristo.
Do you know him?
Stop this plan. Take what you have won.
I can't.
In return for your help, I offer something priceless.
You're no more a Count than I am a commoner!
Edmund!
Why did you not come to me?
Why did you not wait?
The Count of Monte Cristo is a remake of the Alexandre Dumas tale by the same name. Great. Dantès, a sailor who's falsely accused of treason by his best friend Fernand, who wants Dantès' girlfriend Mercedes for himself. Not a complete thing.
Not a great
Dantès, not Dantès, is in prison on the island prison of Chateau d'If for 13 years, where he plots revenge against those who betrayed him. With the help of another prisoner, he escapes the island, I guess he helped, and proceeds to transform himself into the wealthy Count of Monte Cristo as a part of his plan to exact revenge.
Yeah.
That was really tough.
That was tough. That was poorly written.
Yes.
Not my best effort.
No.
I'll say.
You're awful.
I didn't
know. If I opened a bakery, I would call it the Count of Monte Cristo.
Whoa.
Right?
I love the puns that are happening so far today. There was puns that was happening before the recording, right? Even.
Just call me Rapunzel.
Oh, my God. Those are terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is The Count of Monte Cristo. What sort of history do you have with this book or any of these movies? Zero.
None history. I mean, you've heard of the book being an English major. You hear, like, this is on the list of many things you should read. And you're like, it looks fucking long, dude. I'm going to go ahead and see what else is out there.
It's one of those, I can think of the dust jacket or the cover.
Right.
How it's got the bottom and it's all black. And then
right,
it's got a French painting on the top.
Yeah, and it's like 800 pages long. And you're like, Portrait of Dorian Gray, 150, let's go.
Yeah, I like that movie, actually. Or that book, actually.
Yeah, it was okay. But yeah, I knew that it had some sort of, epic legacy, and it was on a bunch of revenge lists that I was doing lookup research for, so I was like, why not?
And the martini has arrived.
Cheers.
Finally. Gosh.
You get no tip, is what Cruz was saying.
Or just the tip, depending.
Yeah, depending on how this martini goes down. We'll see. You were talking earlier about not eating the pickle, and I thought it was something inappropriate to say, but I was like,
I didn't say it.
You
gotta expand on those.
Yeah. I figured I'd try to keep it clean for the recording,
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Okay, so my history, yours was zero, right?
Yeah.
Mine was zero as well.
Yay!
The only thing that I knew about this was one of the films that we may be doing next time that's also a revenge movie had to deal with some young men that are in prison, and one of them said in jail that this priest was going to read them a book, and he said, I'm going to read Count of Monte Cristo. What part should I read to them? And the little kid says, that's easy, the part where they escape. And so that's what I knew about the movie.
That makes sense.
As a reference in a different movie. So, really got a lot of knowledge there.
Wow, basically a fountain of knowledge.
Yeah. So, I didn't know anything about this. I look at the, I had it on my Netflix queue for quite a while. And was, doing the thing where, oh man, I gotta ship this so it gets here in time, and then I gotta have Rachel borrow it and it's not available anywhere, and, then lo and behold, it's available for free on YouTube.
Right.
So, that kind of.
Thank you, YouTube.
Yeah, really. Many thanks. And there's several versions of it too, so I don't know, whoever's in charge of the copyright for that film is really taking the snooze on that day.
Way to go, Steve. You dropped the ball.
Yeah, you're fired, fucker.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't. At all. So, all that jibber-jabber being said, what did you think of your pick?
Well, I mean, the casting was spot on.
Wow, the cast was really a lot of famous people.
Well, it was like, let's find the biggest dickbag we know. Let's see, Guy Pearce. Good.
Good, good.
And then someone who is wants revenge but has a good... How about Jesus?
Let's
pick Jesus.
Let's get all someone right. That's going to be whipped a few times. Oh, Jesus. Let's cast
him. Yeah.
And then we're going to have an old person... Like... We're going to have an old person with a beard. What kind of beard? Oh, I don't know. Like wizardry. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's get Dumbledore in there. Let's get
Dumbledore. Yeah, for sure.
And we have to have a guy at the end where, I don't know, maybe he's going to be really like pure at heart and a little naive. Oh, we'll get Superman. We'll get Superman.
We need a cleft chin in there. Although I do feel like if Jesus and the girl, if they had a kid, it would probably look like that. Because everyone in this movie is, I mean, the majority, they're fairly attractive.
Yeah, the people that are supposed to be attractive are attractive.
They did a good job, but yeah. I mean, that was really good casting on their part. And I mean, Guy Pearce, I feel like that's just his resume, just says Guy Pearce, dickbag extraordinaire.
Yeah, he always has that. You know, I can't not think of his role in Memento when I see him.
Yeah.
But he always has that role of, he's just so smug all the time.
Yeah.
He just has that look.
And that's like, it's unfortunate for him, but like, that's what he's going to get for the, like, roles for, he can never be the Jesus character, cause he's always gonna be like, the scheming best friend or the guy that's kind of a dick, so.
I did think that he was, I really liked that beginning part where they were kind of like, you know, buddy copping it.
Kind right, of. with Napoleon, just chillaxing.
Yeah, Napoleon. He's just hanging. Yeah. Tall Napoleon, too. Literally.
Yeah, Napoleon.
And so when they were just kind of buddying around, I was like, oh, these guys are having a good time. Like, this is some nice little banter.
But even then, he was like, yeah, well, let's just, like, hang out while it lasts, buddy.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, he's boozing it up and stuff, and, you know, I didn't know anything about the story, so I figured those were the two that got imprisoned or something.
Oh, you know? See, I must have known something because I knew that he got fucked over by his friend. Mm. So I knew enough to know. And then plus you should have known already that it was Guy Pearce.
Well, right. That's why I figured
right.
He dicks him over later, like when they're in prison or something.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like just getting into it, the dicking over part, when he goes in to talk to the magistrate or whatever.
The main prosecutor later. Yeah.
With Mercedes. He legit, I wrote in my note, did he give the judge help me get pussy eyes? There was like a across his face was like a glimmer of like, please help me get laid. And he like totally understood what he was saying. I was impressed.
That's yeah, it must have been some kind of, some like ancient man code look.
Right.
Because he was basically just like pointing at his dick like, hey,
right.
This is what I want to have.
And he was giving
happen.
Him like a giant wink back like, gotcha.
Oh,
gotcha.
I'll totally screw over her fiance. No right. problem.
Yep, not a big deal. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So, did you like it overall then, Cruz, or what?
Yeah, I did, actually. It was pretty straightforward. I actually... To be honest, was worried that somebody in the beautiful circle of familyness was gonna die at the end.
Ah.
I was like, trying to decide, you know, like, how old is this book where we're doing twist endings, you know, like, but it was pretty straightforward at the end there, so sure. I liked it.
Sure. This is one that, you know, I had on my queue for such a long time, and it was kind of, I don't know, I don't really hear anything about this movie. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't ever hear that it was really good or really bad, and, you know, it wasn't, I mean, it was 13 years ago, it's not that long ago, but I don't ever remember it being like a big flop or a big moneymaker, and.
Right.
So it just kind of flew under the radar a bit, and I really had a good time with this one.
Yeah.
I really had fun, and it was kind of like, it made me think of how, like, Hollywood films used to be. It wasn't all that concerned with the true motivations of people. It was just kind of like, oh, the bad guys being bad and the good guys being good.
Yeah. There wasn't like a, you know, side story about the wife trying to get, you know,
yeah,
empowered or anything.
Right. Cause she definitely just disappears. And so does Guy Pearce, you know, for all those years when he's being held in prison.
Right.
He's hanging with Dumbledore. And so he's in there, you know, doing his best Shawshank.
Oh, and I am really upset right now because I thought that Shawshank was like the best idea ever, but he totally ripped off that idea.
So there you go. Fucking Tim Robbins. So I don't know. So I just kind of liked that. And it's like, and then they have the tremendous entrance once he's the Count.
Oh my God. It was like better than a Gatsby party.
It really was.
10 times better than a Gatsby party.
And I put, wow, what a baller entrance. Like, holy shit. With a hot air balloon.
Did you want a hot air balloon? And then people are like doing like acrobatic rope shit. Oh man.
Oh yeah. I was like,
and then he just stands up at the top and he's like, what's up? Like, fucking cool as a cucumber. It was amazing.
Modern times, it would have been like head nod, mic drop, and then just walk away.
Right, right. Also, I wish that the deed to my house was a scroll. I didn't even know. I hope I can get that.
You want a scroll? I get you a scroll by 2:00.
I can get you a scroll. Fuck.
Fucking amateurs. So yes, I put, you know, I had a really good time with the movie. I just thought that it had, I think the term that's thrown around for this type of a film is swashbuckling at the end, where, you know, we've got a little Princess Bride type stuff where there's serious moments, but it's not like there's a lot of heavy, you know, a movie that popped into my mind when I was watching the end of this is how it was being serious, but it wasn't feeling heavy. And it reminded me of, like, what a stark contrast it is to a film like Blue Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
Where that's such a heavy movie, right?
You mean, like, the most depressing movie of all?
Yeah. And, you know, that's a movie that I really enjoy, but it's...
You would.
Like, you have to really have the sort of want to watch that one.
Right.
This,
like,
one you can kind of...
You just got broken up with, and you have, like, a ice cream cake in front of you. And so, you know. Right.
Yeah, and a lot of booze and sunflower seeds, the whole thing.
So when you were watching this, did you... Because, like, there were parts where, like... And I'm not making parallels, because these are two entirely different movies. But I saw the devil. Like, there are, like, parts where his cute little sidekick was like, I think you're done revenging. You need to stop revenging. And I was worried. I'm like, this is going to be, like... in a tale of how you revenge too hard and you're gonna let it all blow up in your face.
And then you're gonna get it,
Right. I was worried a little bit. Did you think that everything was gonna like get tied nicely with the little bow at the end?
I kinda did, yeah. I think it was I think the film for me just had that sort of feel to it to where it felt really safe in that things were all gonna work out like they should. If it would have been where, you know, Louis Guzman doesn't throw the knife and, you know, it doesn't just hit her in the shoulder or whatever and
right.
It blows somebody away, I would have been like, what the fuck?
I thought she was going to die, and because, like, that would only be the only apropos, like, way for that to happen. Because if the son dies, it's, like, super sad. And if he dies, it's, like, pointless. So, but she didn't. She didn't die. Kind of wanted her to.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
So the only thing that I thought was weird about the film was... Louis Guzman, really? That's your
right?
I was like, what is
But he this? Did okay. I thought he was gonna like make like, oh no, he didn't jokes. And I was like, oh man. Now to be fair, there were a couple times where there was like a turn of phrase that I was like, that was obviously not from that time.
Yeah, period. You're like, woo, too modern.
Yeah. And, but it didn't like take away from the movie, but I didn't hate him as in that role. I thought he was just gonna be super awful, but he was like toned down enough that it was okay for me.
Yeah, I saw him laying on the ground and went, ugh, like that, like, oh, no. And they're like, oh, he's the most fearsome knife fighter. And I'm like, okay. The movie had definitely lost me right there. And I was like, I don't know. And then when he was playing it, you know, like you're saying, he's playing it pretty naturalistic. Like it's pretty, yeah. Pretty toned down. And I was like, oh, okay. He looked ridiculous with that wig that he had, like the little mini mullet wig thing that he had on later.
Right, right. It was like Tommy Lee Jones in the Lincoln movie.
So I wasn't feeling that so much. But, you know, I thought he was good. I was glad that he wasn't going with his persona and having like a really thick accent.
Right, right.
And kind of really playing that up. So I'm glad that he didn't do that, I guess. Let's see. Oh, I did put, boom, guy should have went to Maury, because when it's the, you are not the father.
Right.
Sequence, I was like, oh, well, of course, he doesn't look anything like Guy Pearce.
Right. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Cause like, were you not thinking horror a month after you found?
Yeah,
like,
I was like, oh, really quick. What? I figured we were going to come back to that though. So I was like, when he gets imprisoned, and then we don't see them for a while. I was like, oh, what the hell? Like, obviously they got married because that's the way that the movie's going to go.
Right.
But when it was so many years afterwards, I figured it was going to be a thing where he wore her down and it was years and years. But then when they said a month, I was like, what? Fuck her.
Right. That's what I thought too. It was like she was like in mourning forever. And then she was like, oh, I have to get married now because I'm a spinster. Cause, like, yeah. Isn't it like 18 or something?
She's cat lady forever at like 14. Like, oh, I just got boobs and now I'm too old. That kind of deal.
You got to get them before boobin' season. That was a saying back then.
Was a saying up in up in Oakland too.
Up in British France.
In British France.
British France.
Where they're writing on the walls in English and stuff.
Because like. I mean, you know, when I think about that when I watch shit like this, but, like, not to make myself sound horrible, but as an ignorant American, I don't care, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Be somewhere and then have a British accent. We just think that's exotic, and I just roll with it. It's fine.
Well, we were talking about how, and Elle and I were watching this, and the Chateau d'If comes up, right?
D'If.
And yeah. I was like, the fucking Chateau d'If? Like, should there be a question mark after that? Like, I don't know what it's fucking called. You know, I was like, what is this? And she took, right. You know, and she took French. And so I was like, what's that say? What is that all about? And she's like, what? It's just a fucking thing it's called. Like, chill out.
Right.
I don't know all the French words.
I know we and like, shut the fuck up.
And where's the cafe and give me some wine? That's what she knows.
Right. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Smart. You got to know the basics.
Right. So I know that you, this is near and dear to your heart. So the part about, Jesus watching over you, was that something that you really took in and let settle?
I was probably looking at my phone. I was probably rolling my eyes out of my head and like, okay.
God will help you, son.
Dude, I do like the guy from, isn't that the dude from Blade? I should look this up. The guy in charge of Chateau d'If.
Yes, that's where he was from.
Yeah, and he's
Like super familiar.
Michael Wincott is his name. Yes.
Yes.
And yeah, he's in a lot of stuff. He was in Alien Resurrection, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yes. Pro, oh, okay.
24. So, like he's been in a lot of stuff.
He's always the good guy too.
He's always just the biggest jerk. Right. And the creepiest looking guy. But yeah, so like, when he came on, I was just like, I really liked how he had said basically that he was going to keep whipping his ass, and he'd stop as soon as God came down and told him to stop, or like right. He said something to that effect.
Yeah, he's like, well, as soon as he shows up, I'll be done.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, but oh, then, I feel you. Alright.
Really. But then he goes and he meets Dumbledore, and he learns like the British version of wax on, wax off. And he learns like, so I put, cause like he, you know, learns basically everything he knows while being in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, I feel like being in this jail is like a metaphor for adulthood. Like you get an education and stuff, but it's awful and possibly not worth it.
Oh, that's, I like that. Did you put that you also learn how to kick an old man's ass?
I mean, you should know that. That should be instinctual.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But... it should be like, oh, here comes my right, and then punch him with your left. Because he's old and he can't move.
He could, though. He could get around in those tunnels like a little fucking mole. I didn't even... That's crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't Sliding be mad the, at the fact that he was sticking his head...
plate over to the door like he's in a Old West bar. I like that, too.
Yeah, really. He just needed a spittoon. So I quite enjoyed this one. I was pleasantly surprised. I told Anella, because she had already seen this.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what the fuck? I'm pretty sure that Rachel and I both had yet to see it, and I was like, how dare you have seen a movie without me?
You should, did you, you know, berate her a lot?
It was
kind
of thing where she had to sleep with Anna a few nights, and...
Oh, good, good.
She learned her lesson, apologized.
She thinks she's better than you?
Well, that's why I was like, hey, get your ass in the kitchen and make a martini, so...
God.
She's like, what? I mean, I guess I will.
Right? So. I don't... What? So, I want them to do a remake of this.
Oh, like a 40th version of it, you want.
Only, like, I want it to be, like, the Baz Luhrmann 2015 version.
Mm.
Because you know when they go to Rome that is just Mardi Gras, right?
Yes.
That's all it is.
Yes.
And I think there would be a lot of fun things that they could do now. Like, they could say that he was, like... working for like terrorist groups and stuff like that. I think it would be good.
Now,
so, Nolan, what?
Nothing. Keep going.
No, that's all I have.
Oh, now, okay. So, can we have Tom Hardy play the main role?
God, he could. Yes, that'd be great.
He could play all the roles.
Yeah.
So here's a couple of things in the trivia before we move on.
Okay.
First of all, Guy Pearce was originally offered the lead role.
Stupid idea. I hope that person got fired.
And get a load of this one. You'll like this better. Another person who turned down the lead role when the film was in early stages was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Awful.
How
awful. You keep whipping me because God will come get you. I can't even.
He'll just go, and he would have just broke it. He would have broke the chains.
Right. That's an awful.
He would have like, Dumbledore would have been sticking his head up, and he would have like bashed him like the mole hitting thing.
Right. Cause one of the things I liked about this movie is that it was very tactful revenge. Like he had to like move chess pieces around, and he had to use like intellect to get this all going.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just like showing up and stabbing people. And so like that casting would have been horrible because, you know, that's, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah. And I did think that they did a good job of making Jim Caviezel look a little different.
Yeah.
When he's got that beard and he's being, you know, the Count. I was like, oh, okay. Like I can sort of see that. Like he does look different.
Right. He's older and he's not, I mean, like he's all weathered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fairly obvious, but I don't know, maybe people back then, you know, didn't know how to look at people.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Well, they're foreign, so they're probably dumber or whatever.
Oh my god, America!
Yeah. They're probably just dumb. What are you, dumb?
Can't well, tell I mean, we won our country from, oh wait, that's France. Damn it! Alright, keep trivia.
Yeah, we'd have beat them up anyway, too. If it came down to it.
I don't even need your fries.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see, what else do we have in here? This was originally, Disney greenlit it, and they were hoping it to be a little bit more family-friendly.
Boring.
Let's see. A second film featuring Michael Wincott, who was the bad guy, right? To be released by the Walt Disney Company and based on a novel by Alexandre Dumas. He previously played Roquefort in The Three Musketeers.
Okay.
So he was already in The Three Musketeers 93 version, which Alexandre Dumas also wrote, and that is the movie with Kiefer Sutherland and Charlie Sheen and Chris O'Donnell.
Right. Oh, Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, and Tim Curry and Rebecca De Mornay. So.
How long ago was that? 93.
93,
that's
it. Yeah. Rebecca De Mornay in the early 90s and late 80s, though. Hard to argue with that one.
And then later, oh no, that's right. Nothing later.
It's kind of like Hand the Rocks That Cradle is, and Risky Business, that's kind of like her sweet spot right around there.
Sure, and it's fine.
And then, you know, she dares to be older than 30 years old and she doesn't get roles anymore.
Oh man, just watch that Tina Fey, Amy Schumer thing. That's the best thing I've ever seen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like a skit on Amy Schumer.
Oh, where, about being over 30 or whatever.
Yeah, like Elaine is eating at the picnic and then they like send her on a boat down the river. Like, she's too old to like be in movies anymore, so.
I like that. I like how that made you laugh so hard.
It made me laugh really hard.
I like it when my friends like things.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have anything else about that one? The rest of the notes and trivia was all like production based. Boring.
Boring. I'm glad we watched this one.
Me too. Let's just do that. Not being one that we're like, yes, it's gotta be this.
Or else. It worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out well. Yeah. Okay. So before we move on to my pick, we should mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice. And a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title for free and just start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. And I would recommend two of the books that I have downloaded. One of them I'm about a third of the way through, and that is The Leftovers. And that's been pretty good. I'm trying to get a good ways in before we start watching the HBO series, which I heard is very dark and
weird,
slow, and
yep.
Those are all the things that I like. So, you know,
dark and slow.
Dark and slow and weird. That's what I'm all about. And then along with that, I also just recently downloaded Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy. And I have yet to start listening to that, but I'm sure that it's good. And I should mention that The Leftovers is written by Tom Perata. And Tom Perata has a wonderful interview with our favorite author, Mr. John Irving.
John Irving!
That people could listen to if they just search for John Irving and Tom Perata in their podcast app.
Tom Perata interviews the genius.
Yeah. Pretty good. Perata and the genius. He's a really good speaker, that John Irving. Yep. He is, he's quite the man.
He knows his words.
He knows his things and words and the sentences and the semicolons. He knows those things. Okay, so let's move on to my pick. It is from 2013 and it is the very independent movie entitled Blue Ruin.
As for the mystery, I don't mean to scare you. You're not in any trouble. I just thought you should be somewhere safe when you found out. With somebody. He's going to be released. I don't know how much you they are missed.
I know this is personal. That
That's how you'll fail.
I'd forgive you if you were crazy. But you're not. You're weak.
Hello. It's me. By my count, that's two of yours and two of mine. I don't know how this ends.
That's how this works, man. The one with the gun gets to tell the truth.
A mysterious outsider's quiet life is turned upside down when he returns to his childhood home to carry out an act of vengeance. Proving himself an amateur assassin, he winds up in a brutal fight to protect his estranged family.
Okay, so I picked this sight unseen. I knew a little bit about it in that I had heard a review, and I'm blanking on where I heard it from, but I know that I listened to a review about it, which made me put it on the queue to begin with. And so I knew that it was a revenge movie, but that was kind of it. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I thought that the Netflix instant poster was really weird. It was really, it looked like it was painted, right? Like, it wasn't like just stills of the movie. It was like
back to back with their arms crossed.
Yeah. It was just this like painted, blue and red, like poster. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this going to even be? Right. And so I was like, well, whatever. I'll just watch it and I'm sure it'll be fine. And,
Rachel watch it.
Yeah. It'll be a thing where even if Rachel doesn't like it, I like getting Rachel riled up about movies and that'll be fun. So I didn't know anything about it. Cruz, I'm guessing you didn't know anything about it either.
No.
Okay. And let's start with you again, since I like putting you through giving the thoughts first. What did you think of it?
Disturbing.
Start over. You're all.
It was really. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, I can't even, I don't know. I mean, okay, so we start out with a homeless ginger person, and I'm like, okay, I understand what's going on, and then, like, he finds out this information, and he just goes and, like, slits this guy's throat, and I'm like, I feel like that was a bad idea, well, which totally was.
Yeah, he doesn't just do that. I mean, he stabs him right in the side of the head.
Well, he had to, because he tried to slit his throat, and he, like, fought back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I feel like the whole idea, the whole synopsis of this, is, like, you didn't need to go there. Mm-hmm. Nobody needed to go there. Like, I feel like that guy was, like, in jail for what, I'm assuming when the kid was little, so at least 15 years.
Yeah, probably for a while, I think, is the conceit.
And he gets out of jail and the first thing he's going to go do is fucking kill people. Like, I feel like that guy, and don't get me wrong, I understand what it's like to be paranoid every day of my life, but, I feel like he just didn't need to do that. And then, like, it ultimately was just a fucking death of dominoes, like, all the way down the hill. So, I don't know. It was really, like, the whole time I just kept thinking, like, these choices that everyone's making here are fucking stupid, I think, is kind of how my brain was working there.
Okay. I think about, once I saw that it was going to be, like, a family thing, like, family v. family, right?
Right.
I was like, oh, so Montagues and Capulets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, because I was like, okay, well, and, at the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, this is going to just be very, personal and down and dirty and
realistic. Feeling, like emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then when we get to the end of the film, I was like, wow, that's like really like old, I hate you and I don't know why kind of things. And so I thought that that was just kind of an interesting way that they went about telling the story. And this is written, directed, and shot. I mean, he did the cinematography also by Jeremy Saulnier. Saulnier, I think is how that you say that, yeah.
Is it French?
I don't know. I don't think he is. I would imagine not.
I mean, Chateau Duf.
But he's doing, he is, has a movie coming out later this year, supposed to come out later this year, called Green Room. So he's all about
the colors, dude.
Yeah, he's all about the colors. We can get into what Blue Ruin is also. But so I started the movie and was like, wow, this is interesting, but man, is it really sleepy at the beginning. And I was just like, I don't know if I just care at all about seeing this guy. And you know, once I figured out that he was in somebody else's bathtub, I was like, oh, what?
Right, that was funny to me.
And I was just like, ew, thinking about, you know, coming home and having somebody running out of your bathroom and having you not know it or something. I was like, oh, gross. Yeah, and so I was just kind of like, I'm just kind of going along. Like, I wasn't really super wowed by it. And we have that first, the killing sequence. And he cuts his throat, you know, and he's bleeding. And then stabs him in the fucking head. And I was like, I jumped and was really surprised, like really shocked by it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I figured he was going to hurt him some and then get away, and then he was gonna just be posed to.
Oh, sure. Got it.
Yeah, and so I thought it was going to be something like that, and I didn't really, I was kind of like, what the hell is this gonna be then?
Right?
Once he was killed, and I was like,
I still don't know. Like, I'm done watching the movie and I didn't know what the hell it was gonna be.
Right. And so I was like, I got to, you know, I felt really, really tense for the guy. Like, oh my God, he left his key. Oh no. You know,
oh, that pissed me off. I did not want to feel feelings about it. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah. Don't make me.
Yes.
And you know, he's going around in the limo and it's got the tire that's all fucked up and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, this guy's really going to get it. And, you know, he's all bloody and it lets the kid get away. And, we get to the sequence where they think that the babysitter and the kids are going to get it.
Right.
And I was pissed at both of them. Cause I was like, oh, you fuckers. Like, now these kids are going to be dead. And right. I can't believe this shit. And the only thing that I was curious about or kind of wondering what was happening was they have something in the oven and he's taking something out of the oven and it's all burned. And I couldn't tell if that was just supposed to be food or if, like, I thought that they did break in and just put something in the oven and is letting it burn.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, I couldn't tell. Yeah. And I was like, well, what the hell? Is this a thing or what?
I mean, it didn't come back anywhere later, so.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's just whatever was in the, oven from earlier, and the babysitter just sucks at her job.
Right. It sucks at being a babysitter.
Yeah, because
if they were... let the kids die, so they're...
Well, yeah, I mean, they were already there. It's like, what the fuck? Like, what's your problem? You can't tell that the thing's burning? Like, you were fine.
Maybe she lost her sense of smell.
Yeah, she's dumb.
It's a sensitive subject.
She's dumb. So, okay, so one of the things that I thought was really interesting is, you know, we have... It's called Blue Ruin, right? And I sure as shit didn't know why.
And, yeah, I mean, I just...
And I was like, all right, the car's fucking shitty and it's blue. Is this whatever? Is that what this is? Or, you know, and there's all these shots where there's a lot of blue.
Okay.
In the shots. And I'm like, is that a thing?
Or, you know? Was it the thing?
And I think that that adds to it. But, and then there's a deal where in the trivia, if you look at a movie that we have yet to do, but it's a movie that we both enjoy, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, sure.
Her hair color is Blue Ruin. Like, that's an actual hair color.
Weird.
And Blue Ruin, which is hard for me to say, and has been hard for me to say, talking to Anel about it and whatnot. I've been Blue Ruin.
Bluein.
You know, Ruru is what I would say a lot. it means complete and utter ruin or desolation. Is what it means.
Okay. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It should be called Bad Choices.
Oh, dang. I woke up today and it's just been Blue Ruin all day.
I feel like the way that you're describing that word, you can't just have one day of blue. It's like a series of years of it. So, But okay, so I have so many questions about this movie because, like I said, it's really hard for me. Because, like, okay, immediately you watch a revenge movie or you're watching any movie and you try to categorize it, or at least I do, into a certain genre so I can use my brain to go along with it. If this is going to be some kind of like thriller where I have to help you put clues together, then I need to, you know, get my brain. If it's going to be a shootout, then I need to put my brain here, you know, or if it's going to be some sort of feeler movie, then I have to, like, figure that out. But, like, this was all and none of those movies put together. It was so, like, it had, like, the makings of all three of them, and then it never panned out on anything, like, the conversation with the sister, I thought that there was going to be some sort of, like, reckoning at the end. They come back, like, I'm sorry, I don't know why he's homeless for X amount of years, but, I mean, we would figure that out. And, you know, there wasn't any feeling part to it. Even in the climax, like, we just meet these people and you're shooting them in the face. Like, I don't fucking care about these people or you ultimately, because I don't have any, like, you know, personal association with homeless guy, I guess.
Right.
That who killed my parents or someone's parents died. And so I was just confused on how to, like, mentally watch this movie. And so, like, I don't want to say, like, ruin the movie for me. Like, I didn't hate it, but I was just really confused by what type of message they were trying to convey, I guess.
Interesting. You know what I think is weird about that is I think that that's really a, for me anyway, that's really a deal where sometimes I'll go into a movie and I'll want to know what it is and I'll feel like what you're describing.
Yeah.
We're like, wait a minute, tell me what you are. Like, I don't get it.
Right.
And then sometimes I'm like going into it going, I don't know what the fuck this is going to be. So I'm just going to sit and watch it. You know, and that's how I felt this time. I was like, I don't know, like, what is this? And just kind of, instead of trying to make sense of it, I was just like, all right, I guess I'm in. Like, it was, and it was the death scene at the beginning and that sequence of him trying to get away. I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I'm in. Like,
but I was up and like during that part, I was like, I get it. This is cool. This is going to be, you know, like, something that but then it just took seven different turns for me, I guess.
It definitely did. And I was slightly disappointed that he didn't, like, grown up version Home Alone the house.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, oh, he's definitely going to do this. You know, because he seemed like a pretty smart guy, even though he was so traumatized by his parents' death. And so I'm like, oh shit, he's going to, like, booby trap the shit out of this stuff.
Get the paint cans out, son.
Well, he's got like the pitchfork that he never uses, thankfully. And he's got all of these different weapons. Like, there was a tiller and then I was like, oh yeah, I hope he uses that one. And I'm like, God damn, what the fuck? All right. Like, geez, keep her away when we're gardening, apparently. Cause she's like, well, look at that pokey one. I want him to use that. I'm like, no, I'd rather not see that. I'm like, it's all right.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. But
I wouldn't hate seeing it. But one of the things I thought was interesting, I guess, as, like, someone who has mild OCD, is, like, the processes that were shown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you follow him around in the camera, and then, like, the process of him, like, locking up the door, like, cleaning up the house and locking the door, it was, like, oddly satisfying for me to watch that.
Mm.
I don't know why. And, like, everything too, like, even taking that arrow out, like, the process of him figuring out how to do that, even though it was disgusting, I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I don't know what's about in my brain, but.
I also did really like that everything was so very grounded.
Yeah.
To where it was just this guy.
Yeah, there wasn't any, like, big, I get what you're saying. It was basically following a guy around with a camera.
Yeah, and since there was no actors that I knew, I was like, well, shit, he could die, and it could be about the sister. The sister could die, the kids could die. I don't fucking know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of had that a little bit of extra tension for me instead of it being, oh, it's Tom Cruise, he'll be fine, you know, or whatever. I did also think that you know, man, he made a lot of friends before he was all weird. And I was like, wow, this is a really good friend for him to have has these guns and like saves his ass by shooting the shit out of that guy's face.
That was awesome.
Whoa. And that was another one where I was like, wow, when they went for the violence, they fucking went for the violence.
I appreciate it.
Oh, I did too. And I thought that was a really well done effect with his head snapping to the side like that and all that. That was really well done. So I really liked that. I did like the way that they did set up the, you know, the thing that gets him shot is, you know, no speeches, don't make it personal, all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And they told him that. And then at the end, you know, that's what he does. And then he does get shot because he's doing that speech.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought.
And because he let that kid live at the beginning.
Right. Yeah. Because that was really his brother, right? Or would have been his brother. Because.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And,
or half brother.
Yeah, half brother. And so I wondered if that was a little bit of a meta commentary. Like, I wonder if that was the director saying, look, don't make it personal. Don't have all these big speeches. Just point the camera, shoot, and trust your movie and just film what your script is. Like, don't change it into being something that it's not. Because this kind of flies in the face of a lot of typical, like, Taken style where it's just a lot of set pieces and a lot of speeches.
Right.
You know, this is just like a very quiet movie a lot of the time.
Right. But I think that probably does play into it. But I'm so character driven.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I mean, like, obviously when the parents died, it obviously affected this guy to the point where it has ruined his life.
Sure. It's blue ruined his life.
It blue ruined his life. But like, I don't get to see any of that or feel any of that with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it takes so much of the emotion away from me that I, like, when he kills those people, I'm like, oh, he broke into someone's house and he's killing these people. Like they didn't go over the actual murder when it happened, and then like his, you know, even they didn't even Cliff's notes what happened from then to where, how he got here, and like all of the anguish that it caused him.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there really isn't a release for the person who's watching this movie because they didn't get any build up at the beginning.
So do you feel like that is a fault of the script to where it doesn't?
Yeah.
Okay. Or do you think it's the way that, like, you, because the other way I could see it would be that you don't identify with the performance of the character. Like, if you're not drawn into his sort of anguish.
I mean, like, I felt, you know, that he had problems, but like, we don't, they have really odd dialogue with his sister where she's like, if you still have the car, it's still in your name. Like, he lived with her for a little bit and then left, and there were problems there. Like, we don't get, and I understand that, like, as a writer, you're not supposed to, like, just Star Wars everything, like, 15 years ago, you know, and then just show everybody what happens, but,
show don't tell, right?
Right,
just have it on screen.
I didn't get enough of the back show to, like, have the end be enough for me.
Okay. Interesting. I think that, I guess here's what I'll say about it. I like the structure in which they told this story, but I wouldn't want this to be the norm.
If that
makes sense. Like,
yes,
I
it
like
does.
It as kind of like a one-off, but I wouldn't want all of these movies to be like this. So I think it's like kind of like, oh, well, that's interesting. They just kind of only focused on the revenge. Like, we don't know why he's so pissed. Like, we know that his parents are killed, and that's obviously a really good motivation, but we skipped all the mourning and we saw, he's eating a cold hamburger out of the trash, whatever.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
That was disgusting. But we see that kind of stuff and we get the idea, but when we're not there in that, like when we're not feeling that same pain that he's feeling, the revenge isn't quite as satisfying.
Right. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can see that to where in the case of Monte Cristo, you're like, ah, bullshit. He didn't do anything. Like,
right.
You know,
like, you're with him from the beginning,
yeah,
where he's
outraged
been wronged, and the, yeah, and so, like, you know, even though I'm not a you know, Frenchman who was wronged by his best friend.
Surprisingly.
Right, surprisingly.
By your accent, I would have guessed.
Ha-ha! But, like, that revenge was way better when he fucking stabbed Guy Pearce through this. I've always wanted to see Guy Pearce with a sword through his fucking chest anyway. And so, like, wow. I got that. I was like, yes! That one wins. So.
You're like, Brad, we're good. I got the visuals for tonight.
Oh my god. I'm gonna need you to put this mask on.
It'll be good. If I call you Jesus, don't worry about it.
Right.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, and I totally get what you're saying. Like, this was an interesting take on a revenge movie, because they can't all be Count of, you know, Monte Crisco. and it almost was like, what was that serial killer movie we watched where you found out who the serial killer was, like, 20 minutes in, and then, like, we got to watch his process of killing people?
I don't know.
Do you remember what I'm talking about, though?
No. I forget about the movies that we watch so quickly, it's ridiculous.
Right? Because you drink a lot.
What do you mean?
What?
I study hard. Is what it is.
It was foreign-ish, I think. And, like, the serial killer is killing women, and we find him. Like, anyway.
It's the one where the guy leaves, they're in, like, the, they're going through the mountain.
Yeah.
And he, like, disappears or whatever. Or she disappears. That one?
Yeah, I think so. Well, anyway, like, and it shows the serial killer side of it. Like, the rest of, like half of the rest of the movie is, like, him going through his really creepy process of, like, hiding girls in holes.
And, if people can hear.
Yeah, yeah, he gets out of his car. So, like.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that's kind of, like. It's just really interesting, I guess, to see, like, I guess, quote unquote, a day in the life of somebody that I would obviously never be in the shoes of. And, like, this is also that type of person. I hope I don't have to revenge kill for my parents ever. So we'll see how that goes.
Well,
so far, so good.
I mean, it's a kind of a risky deal, you know, former mayor. So,
well, he's got his security detail. It's not a big deal.
Well, Bruce Willis, of course, would have.
Yeah. Plus he, you know. He's a cowboy anyway, yippee-ki-yay.
So. He's like, he's already got his revenge plot figured out beforehand.
Right, right. Like, plus he apparently has a son somewhere that I don't know about that's going to come back and help him do some action scenes, so that'll be cool to meet him.
Good. Then you can get Pitbull in there, and it'll be good.
Oh, on ballet.
Yeah. Brad will take care of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you worry, when he's not sleeping. We need to get Brad in another show, whether it's him snoring or making dinner in the background. I don't know if I like this whole basement recording. I can't hear him futzing around.
Right? I feel like he needs to make a smoothie. That was probably the most fun.
And there's Brad making a smoothie. Sorry
right.
about
I
it.
Mean, he's not sorry about it. This is Brad's world. We're all just living in it.
Yeah, so. That's what happens. That's what happens when you marry a Z-Lag.
It's true. Oh, man.
All right, well, do you have anything else about Blue Ruin?
Were you glad that you watched this movie?
You know, I was. I think for the reason that I said was that I'm glad that it took a little bit of a different perspective.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a different way into it. And I think it's an interesting movie for a guy that this is his second directorial effort. And he's a guy that reportedly a lot of... you know, big time studios wanted, and it's like, oh, hey, I want you to make this fucking remake of this stupid shit. And he turned down a lot of that stuff and just wanted to make his own independent movie.
Good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so that's what, Green Room is supposedly going to be. And, you know, it's a thing where it's like, I feel like maybe this is him, you know, kind of at the beginning of his career and just sort of finding his way a little bit. Because there are things that I thought that worked really well, and there's other things where I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know that I was really huge about this part, or, you know, I don't know if that really paid off as well as he wanted it to, or...
Yeah, you know, and he wrote the script, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he wrote and then shot it, too, like, had the actual camera on his, you know, arm or, you know, in front of him.
See, and I didn't have any problem with the what do you call it, cinematography, I guess?
Cinematography, sure.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, I thought it looked really cool because, like, I wasn't aware of what the Blue Ruin title was all about until after the fact, until about 20 minutes before we recorded. And so I was just like, well, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of shit that's blue. His car is blue. There's a lot of shots where he's, like, in blue light. Like, is that a thing? Is that all there is? Like, geez, that's kind of real tenuous. His next movie's Green Room, so everything's green or the
Martians.
Fuck?
Martians. Yep.
Yeah, and so I'm like, what? But, you know, it turns out that's not what it is at all, and he was smarter than the average bear, so. Green Room is coming out. It already released in France. It's a horror thriller.
What?
And it is a young punk rock band find themselves trapped in a secluded venue after stumbling upon a horrific act of violence. And it has Anton Yelchin in it.
Who's that?
Anton Yelchin, he's Chekhov from the new Star Trek movies.
Oh, he's so cute.
And it's got Patrick Stewart, nice.
He's Charlie Bartlett, right?
Yeah, Charlie Bartlett.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah. We'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I hope his next one is, like, Red Puppies, because I feel like that'd be a fun family.
That would be good, yeah. There it is. Right there. But, yeah, it's got Patrick Stewart in it as well. Professor X.
Oh, okay, sure.
So he's definitely moving up a bit in terms of his, the actors that are interested in doing his films, it seems. So good for him.
Right.
So there you go. All right. Well, anything else about, either of these two movies before we move on and, wrap this up? Because I would say that I was really pleased with our picks this time because I was pleasantly surprised with Monte Cristo. And then, I think Blue Ruin was, a film that I would probably return to less, but it was a movie that I can appreciate sort of the art behind it and like the attempt.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah.
I would just like to point out the fact that you have been pleasantly surprised about a pretty large number of movie picks that I've done, just so you know.
Is that a thing? I mean, is that, I'll have to check the archives. I'll have to see if that's just a thing where it's like, Eric Williams 2.0, or if it's I'm actually just thinking that your picks are going to be bad, or what?
Yeah, no, I feel like it's definitely that. You're like, oh, Cruz just picked some fucking shitty movie that I'm about to sit. Oh, this isn't bad. This isn't bad. So, hey. Like, just keep the expectations low, and then just pleasantly surprised.
Let me tell you,
Rachel Zelag, pleasantly surprised.
My expectations could not be lower, I'll tell you that.
I appreciate that, sir.
That's
the bottom
like
of my heart.
That's the new Plain Label subheading. Plain Label Podcasts. Our expectations couldn't be lower.
That's actually not a bad idea.
That's good. Okay, so I think we're good for this episode. If you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you can follow me. I'm at EricWilliams79. Or you could follow Rachel. She's at Lady Zelag, and that's Lady SZELAG. We also have a Facebook page where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And say that you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of movies that we want, equipment that we need, and a whole host of other goodies in case you're in the giving mood. In case you wanted to maybe buy something for Rachel's birthday. Or, you know, I already beat this into the ground, but, you know, Anel and I got engaged recently. Or you could buy something for the little one who just turned 7 a couple days ago. We got all kinds of shit on there.
Can you deliver liquor to people's houses?
Not on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's like, really, you got the drones. Just bring foods. But I guess you have the whole, like, you know, being 21 stuff and all that. Whatever. Anyway, so just search for that wish list called Plain Label Podcast, and thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more revenge movies.